Health and Fitness with David Hollywood in association with The Hearing Consultancy. TheHearingConsultancy.ie. Fitlands
103. Live in studio on a Friday night. It is Health and Fitness with David Hollywood this evening. How are you keeping? 083 3010 103. Get in touch. If you ever want to get the show on podcast, Midlands103.com. Let's have a look at what we're looking at this evening. A lot of what's on tonight is about looking after yourself. You're going to hear about sexually transmitted infections and their rise in Ireland. Is it because we're having more sex? Are we practicing a lot more unprotected sex? You'll find out the truth behind the numbers this evening. What about your dental health? Gum disease may lead to heart disease and many other serious negative health outcomes. I'm going to talk to an expert in the field. And you'll hear all about mothers and others football in the Midlands, and it is something different and it's going to keep you active. And if you're looking to re-engage with your physicality, it might just be the right kind of blend of socialising and exercise that you're looking for. Right now, though, we're talking about your children and specifically anxiety. I'm very glad to say joining us this Friday evening is Offaly's Sinead Flanagan, author of Wisdom's Wishes, How to Turn Anxiety into a Gift That Will Connect Your Family. And a gift, I suppose, isn't necessarily what a lot of people perceive it as. Sinead, it's a concept we're all familiar with, I suppose. It's becoming more to the front of our language in recent years. Children experience anxiety as well as adults. Why does it happen to us?
Hey, David. Thank you for having me on. David, it's natural. It happens to all of us because it motivates us. It keeps us alert and it keeps us focused and motivated. As I said, anxiety is not necessarily a bad thing. Anxiety is a bad thing when it is overpowering.
Okay. And when it's overpowering, it can then limit what we can do with our lives. And it's there's plenty of, I suppose, coverage of what those limitations are. Just, I suppose, sum up for us in your experience in life, from what you've seen and what you've written about, just how deep can anxiety go when it turns into a negative?
I think it's really challenging to see it. What happens is it holds a person. So anxiety by its nature is, it holds a person in the belief system that, you know, it's in the future or the past. It steals their awareness of the moment. And therefore, it steals their ability to make empowered choices for themselves. And that's where the crux of it is for me. When somebody is disempowered, they're victimized. You know, and then, you know, that's not a good place for any of us to be. And you never want your child to be in that space. And it becomes a habit almost, you know, because they don't have the language or the knowledge to express what's actually going on for them, you know, and we don't. I'm really passionate that people have an understanding that, you know, anxiety, mental health, it's not just our brain, it's our brain-body connection.
Okay.
And when, you know, and when we can gift them with the knowledge and language so that they can share it in a way that doesn't, you know, it takes, depersonalizes it. So there's nothing wrong with me because I'm anxious. It's a thought process. It's a feeling. And when I'm aware of it and I have the language and the knowledge so I can share it, then I can make a choice what to do. What do I need in this moment?
Okay, we've got a lot that we can hone in on there that you said. And one of the things I want to touch on shortly is the connection or sometimes the disconnection between the mind and the body when it comes to anxiety. But first, I suppose, to start our conversation, I wanted to talk to you about like this apparent, I say apparent because again, it's accounts of psychologists and counsellors that I've read saying that children, in particular teens, they're saying with conviction that they have anxiety, as in it is a far more referenced expression or issue at the moment. Is that a trend that you recognise? Is that down to heightened awareness of the issue among younger people, or has modern life led us to a lot more anxiety, particularly amongst our young people?
I think it's all of the above. So there is a heightened awareness. Absolutely. The language is more out there. But also, anxiety is a catch-all term that's very safe for a child or a teenager to use.
Okay.
And I think it's more the teenagers that would be, have the awareness to use it. But it's, you know, it's quite easy to say, oh, I'm anxious. it's much more challenging for somebody to take ownership of their emotion or what they're feeling and share that. Because for them, that can feel like a big, dark, I'm going to jump off a cliff here, and where am I going to land? Because they don't have the knowledge and they don't have the language to really dig into, on a deeper level, what is it that's going on for me? So the root of it might be a plethora of things. It might be a lack of confidence. It might be a lack of self-worth. It may be a little trauma that happened that they, you know, and trauma is not something that happens to us. It's our response to something that happens to us. You know, so something simple might happen, but it starts off that narrative for a child of, well, I'm not good enough. And if I'm not good enough, then I don't value myself. And if I don't value myself, then I don't align myself into a place where I can stand up for myself, because I don't have that worth in myself to begin with.
How do you go about relating to children who are going through anxiety related issues? Like if my child was displaying a tendency to become very anxious in a disproportionate way, what are the steps and techniques that a parent can take, for instance, beyond seeking, as is always recommended, professional expert advice when it comes to counselling?
Yeah, my starting point for every child that I've ever worked with is start with sleep, because it's the foundation of our wellness, whether we're adults, teenagers or children. If we're not getting a good night's sleep, we don't function properly, you know, and there's no negating that. We don't function properly unless we're getting good sleep.
Okay.
So, and I personally, you know, wouldn't be taking my child to my GP or anything else unless they were getting good sleep. You know, so start, that's a really simple step that any parent can start with to empower their child.
Yeah,
and there's lots you can do. You know, a good night's sleep starts when you get up in the morning, which is a really funny thing to say, but it does. So, you know, if you're going to sit down on the TV all day, you're not going to sleep very well, because we need movement and we need fresh air and we need good food. The same as if you're going to drink the Coke and have the chocolate and sit on the Xbox up until the time you get into bed, that's going to have a negative impact on your sleep. But, you know, don't underestimate the little choices that we can make for ourselves that will really impact and increase our wellness. Little things. It's the little choices we make throughout the day. Have your chocolate, but have it before 6 o'clock. Play your PlayStation, but stop half an hour before bedtime and go out and get a little bit of fresh air, or just sit at the kitchen table and have a chat with mom and dad and let the brain settle before you get into the bed and try and switch off really quickly. You know, you can't go from really active to, you know, restful sleep if you don't give it a little bit of an investment in time and effort.
So much of what you're saying seems to be about balance, about that none of the things that you've mentioned, be it diet, sleeping, PlayStation, entertainment, whatever it is, none of those things that are characterised as bad things necessarily lead to someone being in an anxious state. It's just about finding the balance and the space to enjoy those things mixed in with what we need as in terms of a human body then.
Yeah, absolutely. But to do those things, we're all spicy. You know, what's wellness for you and what brings you to wellness is not going to be potentially what brings me to wellness. So to get to the root of that, we need to be aware. And to be aware, we need to be really connected and have, and to be connected, I think we need an understanding of how the brain and the body work in tandem. So I think for me, it always amazes me, whether it's in workshops in schools or working with families, they're amazed that anxiety can have such a negative impact on their physicality.
Okay, yeah.
You know, that they think, oh, there's something wrong with me. And then when you say, well, actually, if you sit in that belief system, that thought process, it can really, really can make you have digestive problems. It can make your heart race. It can, even though you're at home in a safe environment, it can make you feel like the world is coming in on top of you.
And
there's nothing wrong with you. There's it's anxiety, and there's things that you can do to support yourself. You can use your own body to support yourself.
Okay, and we're going to explore that now in 2 seconds. You're listening to Health and Fitness with David Hollywood this Friday evening. And remember, if you are affected by anything we're discussing this evening, there are resources out there that you can get help from. One we'll just give you this evening is the HSE, your mental health line. Free phone 1800 111 888. That is the HSE's mental health free phone line of 1800 111 888. I'm talking to Offaly Sinéad Flanagan, author of Wisdom's Wishes, How to Turn Anxiety into a Gift That Will Connect Your Family. We're talking at the moment about the body and the mind, how an anxious mind can lead to complaints in the body. Therefore, Sinéad, I suppose taking care of your body can help relieve anxiety in the mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think for me, when you give children, parents, the family unit, the tools, the simple little steps that they can do to raise their awareness of themselves and that understanding of, well, how am I feeling and what do I choose?
Okay.
What feels good for me right now? How do I want to feel in this moment? And what do I have to do to get me there? And if that's very difficult for me, so if those anxious, persistent thoughts are very, very challenging for me as a human to release, maybe I need external help. Maybe I need support right now. But again, they're making that choice. They're not going looking for a solution, going, I need somebody to fix this. They're going asking for a targeted, this is the challenge I have. Can you provide me with that solution? And that shift is very powerful and not to be underestimated, in my opinion.
So communication in the home is the first step, you would say, if your child is displaying a form of anxiety. It's about finding the language for them.
Yeah, and the shared language. So, you know, the parenting partners and the children are having the shared language and the shared knowledge. So they really are on the same page, because a lot can get lost in translation.
Okay. Sinéad Flanagan, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us this evening. I know there's so much more we could talk about on this issue, but you've been of great help as it stands. Thanks again, Sinéad Flanagan.
Lovely to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me on.